Welcome back, friends. We're talking about the fatherhood of God and the Sacred Heart of Jesus and how one reveals the other. In the last episode, we spent a bit of time talking about the Trinity, talking about the oneness of their essence, their nature, but their distinction as persons. And it's their relational aspect of one to the other that gives rise to their personhood, if you will. So in this episode, we're going to move now into the concept that when we see Jesus, we see the Father. And I'll have a quote from John, and I will set it up. Philip had been with Jesus for 3 years. He had saw Jesus heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, preach the good news, forgive sinners, actions only God can do. And so in John 14:9, we have this really interesting response. Jesus said to him, Philip, have I been with you so long, yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is the clearest revelation of the Father. Note, truly, truly. So whenever we see something that says truly, truly, or amen, amen, or that's like bolding, emphasizing. It's a mode of emphasization in Scripture. So we'll note John 5:19. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing, not a little bit, not just sometimes, nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, the Father, that the Son does likewise. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, therefore I want you to understand, this is Paul saying this, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So we know when we declare our faith that Jesus is Lord, that's the Holy Spirit operating within us and enabling us. And when we curse and we take our Lord's name in vain, or the Lord, his holy angels are cursing. You remember that's the second commandment, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. That's not by the Holy Spirit. Ted and I, so I guess this is, we're going to go into some reflection. Ted and I, we were recently at the beach, and as we do, since we don't have cable, we watch TV, HGTV, because that's the only thing we feel we can somewhat trust. And there we go. There was a buying a home, and it was a woman. And she goes, she used our Lord's name so casually, and it became, there she goes, I don't want to repeat what she said.
Right.
But it wasn't by the Holy Spirit. And okay.
Yeah, it becomes cultural. We have lost our sense of the divine. We've lost our sense of the paternal. And you've seen that, really, that rapid destruction. You could almost see it visually happening from the films of the 1950s, where Father Knows Best, to by the 1980s, we had the fat slob dad on the couch. Who, could barely open a can of beer by himself without his nagging, crotchety, wise wife's help, right? I mean, this inherent destruction but both of those elements, I think play off one another.
That's correct.
When we despise that which is holy, when we don't give it its proper reverence, you're going to see that have its own impact in culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Baptism elevates us to the status of adoptive children of God. We have become more than creator and creature. Jesus commands that we're to be born of both water and spirit. John 3:5, Jesus answered, here we go, truly, truly. So that's that. Okay, we're going to pay attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is from Catechism 1265. Baptism not only purifies from all sins, but also makes the neophyte a new creature, an adopted son of God, who has become a partaker of the divine nature, member of Christ, and co-heir with him, and a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have that idea that we have that we're temples of the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit we recognize Jesus as Lord, and Jesus as Lord reveals to us the true nature of the fatherhood of God. 1 John 3:1. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. And this is about what Sarah was just saying just a few minutes ago. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, and you think that that's at a time where, you know, I know that we either create a hagiography of the past or, you know, the actual opposite. We make it into, you know, they're all fools back then. But I think at that point, we, in an instance like this, we like to presume that people at that time were just kind of normal human beings doing good things. And yet, you know, all of this, the story of man's salvation history was leading up to this moment when Christ was going to become man. And they had lost enough awareness of that fatherhood of God that they could not recognize the Son. And you think, how is that possible? You know? And yet, here we are again today. I mean, I guess it shouldn't be so shocking to us given the fact that we are, like I said, I mean, I think for anyone who to look at those movies from the 1950s, they're quaint. I mean, in their naivete, or what we would presume to be naivete, as opposed to simply being recognized as proper and just.
That's correct. That's very, very true. And so I think at this moment in time, we need to recognize that truth that the Holy Spirit really does dwell within us from the gift of baptism and from the great gift of confirmation. And, you know, whatever was before that passed for Christianity isn't going to pass for that anymore. It really does need to become an authentic witness to those beautiful truths that were given to us at great price. Our forebears in the faith gave a patrimony to us that wasn't cheap. It wasn't cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are we at that close to the end there?
Yes, we have probably about another minute.
Okay. I was going to say is in regards to that patrimony, it's, you know, it is what is to be handed on when we looked back at the richness of the church. I think people just had a general sense of easiness, like a big government. I mean, they'll never, quote unquote, run out of cash. The church will never, quote unquote, run out of graces, because it just seemed like it was so monolithic. And yet, you know, if you're not making those sacrifices, if you're not offering up those daily prayers, if you're not making holy communions and going to penance and reconciliation, those graces are not being recouped. And so all that we've done is spend down the capital of our elders, and we've never put anything back in. And, you know, it's called the economy of salvation for a reason.
That's correct. Okay. Yes, that is right. All right, friends. Till the next time, fides ad ratio.